From there, we turn to the 21st chapter, the next to last chapter of the book of Revelation, the next to last chapter of the Bible. We hear this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, in dangerous fashion, I have notes. This is a service that only happens in liturgical churches. And there's certain parts of the world it doesn't happen in at all. When I went out to Salt Lake City, they didn't celebrate All Saints Day because of the connotation of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They had forfeited the entire language around saints. For me, this is perhaps the most powerful worship service we do every year. Partly because it harkens way back. It harkens way back to the early days of the church when being baptized meant you were given a new name. That's at the root of being polite and asking if you could call somebody by their Christian name. At one point, you got a new name when you were in the waters of baptism. You literally died with your old name and you started over with your new name. And so reading those names is important. But also, as I talked with the kids, most of our names come from somewhere. They have baggage. Good, bad, indifferent with them. If you've had kids, you may remember that there may have been pressure applied to use certain names, which you may have revolted against, acceded to, ducked, dodged, or whatever you needed to do to get around that. And you've probably known somebody who didn't like their name. I'm the son of a Stanley, and the fact that he was Stanley was really only known to telemarketers. And that's how we weeded them out when they called at six. Because if they called asking for Stanley, we knew they didn't know Keith. Because names, nicknames, they carry power. They describe relationship. My mother's father, I first really met when I was about 18 months old, and I was just starting to speak, and I had this really bad habit of calling every man I saw dad. So my parents had been working really, really hard to break me of this habit. But, I mean, come on, the man I saw most often was dad. I mean, what do you want from me? And when I met my grandfather, Rufus, well, there's a mouthful for an 18-month-old, I very proudly pointed at him and asserted, "Man." And that is how he signed every birthday card, every Christmas card, every letter. That is the relationship we had. And it hinged not on Rufus William Crater. It hinged on man. And the names are really, really important. My middle name is Connolly. It's after my father's mother's maiden name, because he called her father, Fred Connolly, Pa. Do you understand the weight in that? So when we talk about names on this day, I'm not interested quite so much in what's on your birth certificate or your driver's license as the names we use to describe and the weight they carry. I did what a good child of this generation does. I went to the internet for answers. Georgia comes from the Greek Georgios, which means farmer or earth worker. And of course, in the 3rd century, it becomes famous for a saint who slayed a dragon. John, English form of Johannes, the Latin form of the Greek name, Ioannes, which comes from the Hebrew. We can go through like 9 translations. Yochanan, meaning Yahweh is gracious. And occurs in the Old Testament, but the name owes its popularity to some figures in the New Testament, John the Baptist and John the son of Zebedee. Roger. Not as biblical. It means famous spear. Rod and Jur. Thomas. We got a couple of those hanging around this building. From Aramaic, Teoma, which means twin. And you know the story of Thomas. According to tradition, he's martyred in India, and due to his fame, it became a common name. Mona is an anglicized form of an Irish word that I'm going to get wrong. Moadnate. It's also associated with the Greek monos for one, and with Da Vinci's The Mona Lisa, in which case it's a contraction of Madonna. Margaret, from the Greek, Margarites, meaning pearl, probably borrowed from the Sanskrit. Saint Margaret, the patron of expectant mothers, martyred in the 4th century at Antioch. Susan, because we got a couple of those hanging around. Just a couple. Susanna, which is the Greek form of the Hebrew, Shoshana, derived from Lily. The Old Testament Apocrypha, this is the name of a woman falsely accused of adultery. Daniel clears her name by tricking her accusers who end up condemned themselves. It also occurs in the New Testament, belonging to a woman who ministers to Jesus. It does not become common, and this is a thread, until the Protestant Reformation. Deborah means bee in Hebrew. She's a heroine and a prophetess in the book of Judges who leads the Israelites when they are threatened by the Canaanites. A long common Jewish name, it's first used by English Christians after the Protestant Reformation, very common among the Puritans. Vivian. From the Latin name Vivianus, which is derived from the Latin vivus, alive. Saint Vivian, listen carefully here. Saint Vivian was a French bishop, male and female name, who provided protection during the Visigoth invasion of the 5th century. Liam comes from William, composed of the components will or desire and helmet or protection. Claire, feminine form of the late Latin word clarus, which meant clear, bright, and famous. Popularized by the 13th century Saint Clare of Assisi, who left her wealthy family in order to found the order of nuns known as the Poor Clares. Benjamin, from the Hebrew name Binyamin, which means son of the south or son of the right hand. 6th is the 12th and youngest son of Jacob and the founder of one of the southern tribes of Hebrews. Originally named Ben-Oni, son of my sorrow, by his mother, but later changed by his father. Came into general use after the Protestant Reformation. Andrea, English form of the Greek name Andreas, which is derived from Andreas, manly or masculine. In the New Testament, the Apostle Andrew, the first disciple to join Jesus, is the brother of Simon Peter. Andrew, being a Greek name, was probably only a nickname or a translation of his real Hebrew name, which is not known. Mark, it's a form of Marcus, author of the second gospel of the New Testament. Some traditions hold him to be the same person as the John Mark who appears in the book of Acts, the patron saint of Venice, where he is supposedly buried. Although in use during the Middle Ages, Mark was not common until the 19th century, when it began to be used along the classical form Marcus. Judith, from the Hebrew name Yehudit, meaning Jewish woman, ultimately referring to a person from the tribe of Judah. In the Old Testament, Judith is one of the Hittite wives of Esau, so your Sunday school lesson is now connected to the sermon. This is also the name of the main character in the apocryphal book of Judith. She killed Holofernes, an invading Assyrian commander, by beheading him in his sleep. Run afoul of Judith at your own peril. Mary is the usual English form of Maria, the Latin form of the New Testament Greek names Miriam and Maria. The spellings are interchangeable, which were from the Hebrew Miriam, the name born of the sister of Moses, and of course the multiple Marys in the New Testament. Due to the Virgin Mary, this name has been very popular in the Christian world, though at certain times in some cultures it has been considered too holy for everyday use. Daniel, from the Hebrew name Daniel, meaning God is my judge. He's a Hebrew prophet. He lived during the captivity. He'd become rare by the 15th century and comes back following the Protestant Reformation. Are you sensing a theme here? Laurel comes from the name of the laurel tree, ultimately from the Latin laurus, and it's connected to the laurel crown, which was given to the victors of things. Madeline is from a title that meant of Magdala. Mary Magdalene was named thus because she was from Magdala, a popular saint in the Middle Ages. Catherine, from the Greek name Ekateron, the etymology is debated, my source says, could derive from Hecateros, each of the two. It could derive from the name of the goddess Hecate. It could be related to Achaea, torture in the Greek, or it could be from a Coptic name, meaning my consecration of your name. In the early Christian church, it became associated with the Greek katharos, pure. And the Latin spelling was changed. It was borne by a semi-legendary 4th century saint and martyr from Alexandria who was tortured on a spiked wheel. It's been common in England since the 12th century. Trilby, you can find all sorts of things on the internet. It's the name of the titular character in George Du Maurier's 1894 novel, Trilby, about a tone-deaf model who is hypnotized to become a talented singer. The name became a now obsolete colloquial term for a foot, as the character's feet were objects of admiration. The word is still associated with a style of hat. I'll let Chris and Wendy tell you where that came from later. Silas is probably a short form of Silvanus, the name of the companion of St. Paul in the New Testament. As an English name, it's not used until the Protestant Reformation. Timothy is an English form of the Greek name Timotheus, meaning honoring God. Saint Timothy was a companion of Paul on his missionary journeys and the recipient of two of Paul's letters. As an English name, Timothy was not used until after the Protestant Reformation. You're so good. James is an English form of the late Latin name Jacobus, which was described from Jacobus, the New Testament Greek form of the Hebrew name Yaakov, Jacob. It's the name of, again, back to Sunday school, the name of two apostles in the New Testament. The first was St. James the Greater, the apostle John's brother. The second was St. James the Lesser, son of Alphaeus. Another James, known as James the Just, is also mentioned as being the brother of Jesus. Robert, from the Germanic name Hrodeber, meaning bright fame. This one's only been borne by two early kings of France, two dukes of Normandy, three kings of Scotland, Robert Browning, Robert Burns, and Robert Frost, Robert E. Lee, Robert Redford, Robert De Niro, and Robert Downey Jr. Quite the spectrum for you there. Wendy, in the case of the character from J.M. Barrie's play, Peter Pan, it was created from the nickname Fwendy, friend, given to the author by a young friend. However, the name was used prior to the play, rarely, in which case it could be related to Gwendolyn, from the Welsh, meaning fair, white, and blessed. The name only became common after Barrie's play. Chris comes from the late Greek Christophoros, meaning bearing Christ. Early Christians used it as a metaphor, explaining that they carried Christ in their hearts. In the Middle Ages, literal interpretation of the name led to legends about Saint Christopher. He's got a medallion, you may have heard of those, the patron saint of travelers who carried the young Jesus across a river. Gala is rooted in Abigail, which is a Hebrew name meaning my father is joy. It's the name of Nabal's wife. After Nabal's death, she became the third wife of King David. As an English name, Abigail first became common after the... Guess what? We found all sorts of fun names in the Bible when we started to read it again. Ron, or Ronald, is the Scottish form of Rangvalder. Regain is Regin and Valder. Advise or counsel and power. More common during the Middle Ages, became more rare after the 15th century. Cindy or Cynthia comes from the Greek Kynthia, which means woman from Kynthos. This is an epithet of the Greek moon goddess Artemis, given because Kynthos was the mountain on which she and Apollo were born. It's not used as a given name until the Renaissance and does not become common in the English-speaking world until the 19th century. Jocelyn, from a Germanic masculine name, and I'm not going to even try to pronounce all these things. It's derived from the Gaut, which means Goth, Gothic. It was common until the 14th century, and then it gets revived in the 20th century primarily as a feminine name, perhaps as an adaptation of the surname Jocelyn. In France, this is a masculine name only. The names aren't just about us, are they? There's a lot more to it. And there's some weight to it. By the time we pick up all of the names, we have last names that describe where we're from or who our parents were or what our parents did or what somebody somewhere back in the lineage did for a living. But more than that, they carry the memories. I think the church has failed in the wake of Puritanism in that we have not asked us to live into those names. We've actually viewed it as ego and hubris and pride to attempt to live into those names and into the name of Christ that we bear as Christians. As we say these names, all the names that we will say, all the times we will ring the bell, all the people whose names you remember, as we look back over every atrocity and we say the names, as we visit the wall in D.C. and see the power of a memorial that is just black and names, I challenge you to live into all that goes with the name. Live into the word Christ. Live into the words hope. Live into bright and clear and strong and alive and honoring and God and gracious and wise and strong and counsel. Because if you think about it, that sounds an awful lot like that thing we love to sing in a month about how we describe the one who is coming and the one who has come. Live into your names. Live into your names that include, this is my beloved, my child, with whom I am well pleased. Live into the names that says, this is the one called in Christ. Live into the names and their history and their wonder and their awe and the idea that somebody saw all of that in you when they held you in their arms on the day you were born. Live with joy, as you've been called with joy and named with joy. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.